So I liked our vanilla episode because I ate a lot of ice cream.
I liked the vanilla episode because I talked about beaver anal glands.
So we're taking the next 2 weeks off over summer. And so here's one of our favourite episodes from the year. This is the vanilla episode.
Hi, you're listening to Ingridopedia, a factual food fight podcast, but we don't hurl food at each other. We hurl facts and stories and uses for a specific ingredient every episode. My name's Ben Birchall and I'm joined by my co-host, Emily Naismith. Hi, Em.
Hi, Ben. Today we're completing the Neapolitan ice cream trilogy. We've done chocolate.
Yeah.
Years ago, we did strawberry quite recently.
No recollection of strawberry. Oh, no, that's right. You hacked its DNA.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
And today we're doing vanilla.
Yeah.
I mean, the least loved flavour within Neapolitan ice cream.
Flavour that's always left behind.
Yeah. But I feel like it's its time to shine and we're going to do it well.
All right. Let's finish off this vanilla.
All right. I want to talk about bakeries in country towns. You're on a road trip and you want to stop somewhere for lunch. You go to a bakery. What are you getting?
Cornish pasty.
Yeah.
Big fan of them.
That's a good one. I'd usually get a pie. But what if it was like morning tea?
I think I know where this is going. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say vanilla slice.
Yes, vanilla slice. Absolutely the only answer. So yeah, it's the vanilla custard between two layers of flaky pastry with like sweet icing on top. And I don't know if I'm exaggerating, but like 9 times out of 10 when you stop at these bakeries, the vanilla slices are award winning.
Yeah.
Somehow.
There's so many gold medals.
So many awards. And like they won one in 93. It's award winning. It's technically still award winning. But the real question is, how do you eat a vanilla slice? Because it's hard out here when you're cutleryless on the side of a road.
Yeah.
Basically like barely a napkin and like it's so messy with like the custard like squeezing out the side when you bite down. And I mean, it's, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that it's a lot to manage.
It's not a logical dish. It's
no.
not a logical pastry.
No, like I don't know if you see it anywhere else in the world.
That's a good question.
So I do my best. Sounds like you have the same kind of method.
Yeah, I mean, the custard squeezes out because the pastry layer on top and the bottom literally sandwiches. Yeah, it's harder than the custard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have heard of a vanilla slice eating hack through my research, and we love a hack on Ingridopedia.
Do we? I think we've just turned into a hacks podcast, have we not?
Well, the hack is to turn the vanilla slice sideways, and apparently it's less messy. So I've got two vanilla slices, and I'm going to try both methods.
All right. I mean, that seems to be quite flaky. Like, these are high-quality vanilla slices. Did you drive to the country today for this?
No, these are from a place in Box Hill South, Rolf's Pies.
Okay.
And he's known for his vanilla slices as well as his pies. Okay, let's try this way.
Trying regular, top-down, squeezing out the sides. It's pretty messy. You've lost a lot of the... Controversially, there's no icing on the top of this. It's like dusted with icing sugar, and you've lost it all.
Mm. And you're gonna have to eat the custard.
A lot of it has yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
That's one.
Yeah.
So you turn it on its side, or all the icing sugar just fell off. That's not a plus. Okay, so I just got the custard then.
Yeah.
I didn't get any of the pastry
because
my teeth aren't wide enough. And all the icing sugar fell off. It's a terrible hack.
Okay. It feels like you need wider teeth or this hack doesn't work.
Yeah. The thing is, you want all the three different components of the vanilla slice in your mouth at the same time.
Yeah.
Like the icing, the pastry, and the vanilla custard. And you only get that with the traditional messy method. So I'm going to continue to do that.
I think so. I don't think this is a hack that's... making it to our TikTok kids.
No way.
Emily, at some point while we're talking about vanilla, we're going to talk about vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen.
This would come up. Yeah.
Yeah. But let's not just talk about any vanilla ice cream. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about luxury vanilla ice cream.
Okay. So we're talking like with real vanilla beans.
I very much doubt it. No, I mean, okay, picture it's the late 1980s, but you're me, so you were born. you're about 10 and you're having a bit of a fancy dinner. Mum's set the table. Maybe there's napkins. Maybe it's not as fancy a dinner as when Mum made her peppermint crisp and creme de menthe ice cream pudding, but it's still a fancy like dinner.
Yeah.
Visitors. It's maybe a weekend. What comes out of the freezer but a Streets Viennetta?
I am so excited about this, and I really hope that you've got some Viennetta to share with me.
Have a look next to you.
Okay.
Under the cloche, lift the cloche, steaming.
Yes.
There it is. I gave you quite a big slice too.
Yes, thank you.
Of Viennetta.
Do you know that I never grew up with Viennetta.
Yeah.
And so I'm relishing this opportunity. And like, I feel like everybody was having Viennetta and I just missed out for some reason.
Well, I mean, I didn't have it very often. As I say, it's a fancy thing. And it's so fancy now that sometimes my family does it for birthday cakes. Chuck a couple of candles in a Viennetta, yeah, and you got yourself a fancy. So, I mean, for those of you who don't know what a Viennetta is, it's an ice cream dessert made with lots of layers of vanilla ice cream. I'd say not very good quality vanilla ice cream with chocolate, and it's extruded out of a nozzle in a way that it kind of makes these wonky, ruffled,
yeah, like
shapes,
like ripples.
So it's, yeah, chocolate and vanilla ice cream rippled together into a kind of log, and you cut the log up into portion-sized pieces, large portions, as I've just given Emily. So given that I knew it from my childhood, it was always advertised on TV, it felt like it was a big thing in the 80s. I just assumed that it was Australian.
Yeah, like no offense, but a bogan dessert.
Yeah, exactly. Who else in the world could enjoy a Viennetta other than Australians? I just assumed it was like all great things from the 80s, the stack hat,
yeah,
the stable table. Like all of the, I just figured that Viennetta was Australian. I've had my mind blown this week because I learned from Wikipedia that Viennetta isn't Australian at all. It was invented in Britain in 1982. Mm. And when I looked it up on YouTube, this is what I found. So, first ad.
Breyers presents a spectacular ice cream dessert called Viennetta. But its delicious premium ice cream with crisp, chocolatey layers could leave you with one small problem. Viennetta from Breyers. One slice is never enough.
So, available in the United States as well. So I kept digging. What did I find next?
Walls have created a spectacular ice cream dessert called Viennetta.
This doesn't have family.
But despite its deliciously rich
family dinners at the heart of it, does it?
It's a very sexy ad.
Yeah.
It's a very sexy ad. But if you notice anything between the Breyers US ad and the Walls UK ad, exactly the same ad.
Yeah, and same guy.
Yeah, it's, well, might be the same guy, but it's definitely the same vision. It's the same saxophone music. It's the same sexiness. So then I kept digging. What do I
I can't wait to find Australia.
What do I hear?
Streets Ice Cream have created a spectacular dessert called Viennetta.
The Australian version.
But
exactly the same.
Delicious, rich, creamy taste.
So I kept going. I don't even know where this one's from.
Introducing a spectacular new ice cream dessert called Viennetta. But despite its deliciously rich ice cream, its irresistible crisp...
I don't even know
chocolate.
What that is. Some sort of mid-Atlantic, maybe Canada or something. So I kept going and then I got this one. Italian version. Viennetta di gelato.
Now that's sexy.
I mean, it is actually kind of sexy in Italian. And then I kept going, and then there was this one.
Multipacca di damen ice cream spettacolare. Viennetta.
That was Indonesian.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that was Bahasa Es Krim Walls, 1994, apparently. So, mind blown, it was available in Indonesia in the 80s. Em, have you had some to eat, by the way?
No, it's melting. Can I have some? Okay. Jesus.
So this, yeah, I mean, we should eat some.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
It's legitimately really good. I'd like to point out to the listeners, there's absolutely no point of us eating it right now. Like, we're both aware of what a vinetta is.
I haven't had one in decades.
Emily basically just demanded that there was some sort of ice cream treat in the recording this evening. But yeah, what I realized is that vinetta was available everywhere, including Indonesia, where I spent some time growing up as a kid. It, you know, it's the same ad in Italy, in the UK, in Australia, in Indonesia. And not only was it available in Indonesia, but it was huge there. So huge that, and it says here, it was available from the mid-1990s. Oh, there you go. Maybe it wasn't available when I was there. So that ad was from 1994, so it came in later. So Vinetta was sold in Indonesia from the mid-1990s until the mid-2000s when it was discontinued.
Oh, RIP.
RIP, you would think, until somebody set up this petition on change.org. Kembalikan es krim Walls Vinetta ke pasaran, which means bring back Walls Vinetta ice cream to the market. The Change.org petition, and I've translated this, not me personally, I've asked my good friend Chad GPT to do it for me. The 90s towards 2000s, often referred to as the millennium era, which was predicted to have the Y2K virus, were not only filled with Japanese cartoons, Mexican telenovelas, and cheesy songs from Bass Jam, but also with food products that tasted too expensive for us to buy as we were still in school and depended on our parents for pocket money. Children who grew up during this era now work and have an income. Vinetta ice cream that we couldn't taste before can now be bought by us. Unfortunately, Walls no longer produces and markets the ice cream that was once our childhood dream. So they're basically saying, we couldn't have it when we were kids. Now we've got money and it's not on the market. Sign my petition. How many people do you think signed this petition, Emily?
Well, I'd like to say the entire population of Indonesia.
Not quite the entire population of Indonesia, but 74,648 people signed the petition.
That's a solid amount.
And in April 2020, just in time for Ramadan, Walls Indonesia brought Vinetta back.
Heroes. Amazing.
So, I would like to hear from any of our Indonesian listeners about this truly global phenomenon. Hopefully it's still available there 3 years later. Because it's absolutely news to me that it was ever available anywhere except for the bogan parts of Australia. My mind is blown, but I'm really, you know what, I'm glad. I feel good that we can share the taste sensation that is Vinetta with the rest of the world.
Absolutely. And now we need a travel sponsor so we can go on a Vinetta tour of the world.
Done.
So staying with ice cream. And by the way, I'm sorry that I start all of my facts with a little role play, but I just love it so much. So let's pretend we're at an old school milk bar looking in the ice cream freezer on a hot day. What are you going for?
How hot?
Like,
is it 30. Too hot? Yeah. 30 is a tipping point. I'd almost go for a non-dairy.
Okay,
based.
28.
28, yeah. I'd probably go for a... Golden Gay Time?
Yeah, that's a good one. I'd go for a Bubble-O Bill, or if I just played basketball, a Frosty Fruit.
Okay. Mango Macadamia Wheat Bar?
I've never.
You're missing out.
Too healthy. That's like healthy, isn't it?
It's really
not a healthy option.
It's not healthy. You're missing out. You need to go there. But I'm guessing that's not what you're talking about.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Because it doesn't have vanilla in it.
I want to talk about the cone-based ice creams in the freezer.
Yep.
So like we're talking drumstick or cornetto.
Yeah.
Rarely have them, but when I do, they're a good time. Like sometimes I have them in my own freezer for a bit of fun. So they're the vanilla ice cream in a cone with chocolate and nuts involved in a little package. But to be honest, I struggle to tell the difference between a drumstick or cornetto mentally. They're exactly the same in my mind.
Is this going to be like when you told me that only one of Doritos or CC's has the correct configuration of MSG? Like, are they slightly different and one is way better than the other?
Well, that's what I want to find out.
Okay, all right.
Because you never see drumstick and corn dough in the same place.
Oh, yeah.
It's like usually the freezers are branded like Streets or Peters, I think it is, and they both fall on different sides of the fence. So I'm not even sure if they even both exist, but they do. I went on a late night drive last night to track them both down. And you know what? It's really hard to find Cornettos.
Really?
I went to four different places before I found a Cornetto. Drumsticks were everywhere.
Market saturation in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne.
Yeah. So for this fact, I will be conducting a forensic investigation to discover the differences and then to crown a winner as to whether drumstick or Cornetto is the most delicious.
This is ever since I told you that food is tax deductible because we have a business now. Every single episode has been about you eating some sort of snack food.
The reason we do the podcast? I'm sorry.
All right.
But it's not for our listeners.
Emily is scientifically unwrapping the drumstick.
It's not looking good already for the Cornetto. There was a lot of give in that cone.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be crispy.
Oh, and the chalk tip broke off in the packet.
Oh, that's...
part of it anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the Cornetto, and this is the drumstick.
Okay.
So to compare, the Cornetto's chocolate looks a lot darker. There's fewer nuts. When I slightly squeeze the cone, the drumstick has no give. The Cornetto has a lot of give.
Yeah, that's cardboard.
This is very spongy. And the tip ripped off in the packet.
Intact. Yeah.
All right, well, I'll go with Cornetto first because it's not looking good. Oh, it's so soft. Look at this.
Yeah.
It's so soft.
I mean, did you check the use by date? I know you said it was hard to find. Maybe it's been there for a long time. It's a bit of crunch in the tip.
The tip wasn't bad, but...
Oh, yeah.
Look at this. There's fold in this.
Yeah, I reckon we check the use by date on this afterwards and maybe just drop you off at the nearest emergency room.
Drumstick now. Yeah. Let's try the bottom. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you can hear the crack.
Mm. I really thought it would be hard to tell the difference, but yeah, the drumstick is a lot better on looks, taste, touch. I can't smell, so we're just going to skip that. And whatever the other sense is. Sound. It had the crunch.
Sounded good. All right. Hands down winner. I hope the good people at... which one lost?
I don't know.
Cornetto. Good people at Cornetto.
Streets or Peters, I don't know.
Cornetto, if you did want to advertise with us, I'm sure we can, re-record it and flip them around sometime. I want to talk about, I guess, the cost of vanilla.
Yeah.
You're using vanilla in your cooking. A bunch of choices to make. You've got like the vanilla beans, which, you know, they come from a type of orchid. It's the second most expensive food additive after saffron.
They're so expensive. It's like $7 a bean.
Yeah, super, super expensive. So if you're going to do that, use it wisely. You want to have something where you're going to see the bean. Maybe it's like, you know, not being cooked. So you just need the raw vanilla kind of essence. Not the essence, the actual vanilla. Okay, then... next tier down, you've maybe got some vanilla bean paste. So it's, again, it's the real stuff, but it's mixed with sugar and thickeners and it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Then maybe a tier down from that, or I guess they're the same tier. Then you've got vanilla extract, which again, real beans. You get the little dark brown flecks in there, but that's mixed with a lot of sugar and like 35% alcohol. So you could scull that in the tiny bottle if you... probably did when I was a teenager, about the same time I was smoking Barkies. And then let's drop down a long way under that. You've got vanilla essence.
Yeah.
Which is not real vanilla. There's no black sort of dark brown flecks. It's just a liquid that's kind of vanilla-y. But, you know, maybe that's what you're going to use in bulk cooking. Not for the special kind of thing. It sits in the back of the cupboard for a really long time.
Yeah. When you're making stuff for kids under five, it's what you're
exactly
using.
With their idiotic palates. So I want to talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
Not the God tier, not the two tiers underneath that, just the bad 5-year-old palate stuff. Where does it come from? So I found this article on Bon Appetit. They talk about this idea of, imitation vanilla. And they say that 99% of the world's vanilla is fake imitation vanilla. So probably the vanilla that we just had in that drumstick.
Definitely the Cornetto.
Definitely the Cornetto. Probably even the delicious Viennetta was actually fake imitation vanilla that's not a product of the plant itself. Instead, it's flavored primarily with synthetic vanillin, which is a lab-produced version of the same chemical compound that occurs naturally in real vanilla. Typically, it's labeled as vanilla essence. This artificial vanilla is usually derived from less than organic material like petroleum.
That's not good. I mean, does that mean I'm feeding my under 5-year-old petroleum?
Well, I guess so, but in small doses. Yes. And it's really just like the tiny. Mm. Yeah, basically, it says, while it mimics vanilla's smell, many would argue that it doesn't come close to capturing all of the complex floral and woodsy notes that result from the myriad of other flavor compounds in true vanilla. Like, vanilla is a pretty magical, like, it's the only foodstuff that comes from an orchid. It's got so many different kind of flavor compounds in it. It's not just the vanillin. So the vanillin is like the tiny bit that they're replicating from petrol in vanilla essence. So petroleum's not great, but at least as far as we know, it's not squeezed out of the anal glands of beavers.
Okay. What?
I've written here, what may you ask am I talking about? You literally said that. There's a persistent rumor on the internet about beaver glands and vanilla. And let me just tell you, it's not all wrong.
Oh, no. Wait. Okay. You need to explain. Okay. I'll explain. Even guess.
Back to the Bon Appetit article. When it comes to imitation vanilla, there's a whole lot of talk about beaver anal glands.
Okay.
Beaver castoreum, the goo-like vanilla-scented secretion that comes from beavers' castor sacs, located, in close proximity to their anal glands, has been used as a food additive for much of the last century. It's recognized as safe by the FDA and could, in theory, sneak onto ingredients lists under the label of natural flavorings.
I see that on a lot.
Yeah. Well, I don't need to say beaver gland. So that's all true, but let's squash the second part of it. The truth is you're actually not likely to encounter it in your desserts. Global production is extremely limited, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
It's more commonly found in perfumes and cosmetics. When it comes to your average supermarket purchases, there's no need to fret. Nearly all vanilla extracts are vegan, even the imitation ones.
God, because it can't be cheap to squeeze the anal glands of beavers.
No, I figure
to make this cheap stuff.
With a Cornetto, with a vanilla slice, with your streets Viennetta, you're pretty safe. You just might be eating petrol.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Everything in moderation.
Okay.
All right, Ben, you just went through all the different forms of vanilla. So when you're baking, I know you don't like to bake, but when you...
Still afraid of it.
When you are, what are you reaching for in your cupboard?
Well, I can tell you because I found it last night. I didn't know it was there. Clearly, my wife had purchased it. We've got vanilla extract, 2 bottles, and vanilla bean paste.
Yeah, nice. Okay. So at home, I have vanilla extract and vanilla essence. Haven't got the paste, not as fancy. But yeah, as we were saying, I kind of use the extract for most things like porridge or baking or icing, that kind of thing.
You put it in your porridge?
Sometimes.
Okay.
It's fancy. Yeah. And essence for things I don't care about. And I think I've used actual vanilla pods like once in my life. And yeah, it's a no for me, too expensive. But I'm keen to know if I'm making the right decisions. Like, do vanilla beans really make your food taste extra amazing? Or are we okay with the cheaper option?
Mm.
How cheap is too cheap? That kind of thing. So I thought about conducting a large-scale experiment and cooking the same thing with all 4 kinds of vanilla. And then I realized someone else has already done that.
Oh, good.
And yeah, I won't have to fork out $7 for a vanilla pot. It's all good. So SeriousEats.com has done the hard work and compared all the vanilla flavorings in 3 different methods, baked into sugar cookies, cooked into an ice cream base and churned, and stirred into eggnog. So their results were, for cooked items like cookies and the cooked ice cream base, tasters could not decide which type of vanilla was best. even between the fancy stuff and the regular stuff, or even between the imitation vanilla extract and real vanilla bean.
Mm.
In fact, out of all the scores, almost all were less than a standard deviation away from the mean. That is, most of the scores were close enough that any variance can be attributed to pure chance, not actual preference.
Huh.
But the one exception was real vanilla beans scored significantly lower in the ice cream taste test than either extract or artificial vanilla.
Yeah, and actually that's, it does say that in the article I was just referring to, that actually vanilla essence is, like, if you want that big vanilla punch,
yeah,
and especially for things that have cooked a long time, that actually vanilla essence is more vanilla-y than real vanilla.
Yeah, which is odd to me because I was imagining, like, I would never get vanilla ice cream from, like, an ice cream shop, as in, like, a proper nicely made ice cream shop.
Hmm.
But if someone's like, no, they have real vanilla beans in there and it's really good, I'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Really? And then in the other part of the test where the vanilla was kind of cold in like the eggnog, so uncooked, the extract came out as the clear winner because it had more intense flavor and increased complexity. So basically, if you use vanilla regularly in baking, there's no reason to fork out money for the fancy stuff or even the real stuff.
Mm.
Artificial extract will be fine. But if you drink a lot of eggnog or make uncooked ice cream bases,
or
like cold things like panna cotta and stuff, you should probably buy the real extract. But it seems like buying vanilla beans overall is overrated, which makes me feel good about being a tight ass.
Okay, Emily, I have cooked something for a last fact. I sometimes like to, you know, my starting point is like, what do I use this for? Do I have it in the house? Had, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of vanilla in the house. And I think it's mainly been used in pavlovas.
Yeah,
it's kind of a bit of a go-to, particularly something that my wife Sophie makes for Christmas and big events is like, you know, make a pav. And I was trying to think of anything else I'd used it in, really. Maybe like French toast every now and again, some kind of sweet breakfasty things.
Mm.
But I couldn't remember having used it in a long time. So I was like, well, let's look for some other uses for it. And so, you know, I went to the website of the makers of the vanilla extract that we had. Queen, established 1897, queen.com.au. And they've got a little article called 10 Ways to Enjoy Vanilla in Your Savory Cooking.
Oh.
I was like, interesting, savory vanilla. Hmm. And they've got in there, some of these things sound good, vanilla spice rub. So you make a spice rub for pork, chicken, lamb, duck, venison, whatever kind of meat you've got. So it's vanilla bean paste, brown sugar, pepper, allspice, cumin. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Maple vanilla bean glaze, again, like a glaze for pork, duck, or ham. That's vanilla bean, maple syrup, you know, make a glossy kind of meat dish. Makes sense. Vanilla melted butter for a buttery finish with woody vanilla notes.
Mm.
Simply melt some butter, add some vanilla paste, put it on your vegetables, grilled meats. All makes sense. How do you feel about the idea of vanilla mayonnaise?
It's always the mayonnaise that gets us on Ingredipedia.
Made you some vanilla
mayonnaise. We love mayonnaise. We love disgusting 70s/60s recipes featuring lots of mayo.
So I know, I do remember, what episode was it when I made the mayonnaise with to my mum's recipe, which had no egg? It had no egg.
Oh, it must have been the mayonnaise episode.
Must have been the mayonnaise episode. Did we do a mayonnaise episode? Wow, okay.
I don't know.
It's too many episodes. What are you up to now? Okay, so I'll talk you through it. I mean, actually, there's not much to talk through. It's mayonnaise and vanilla.
And so did you just...
I made the mayonnaise.
Oh.
No, I made the mayonnaise. So I used your boyfriend Jamie Oliver's recipe.
Oh.
So it's... I just made like a half serve because I wasn't sure why I was doing it. So single egg yolk, 250 mils of oil. I used a mix of sunflower and olive oil because it's just what I had. A little splash of vinegar, and you actually really do need a good splash of vinegar in there to kind of loosen it up, which I sort of didn't realize till right at the end. And then half a teaspoon of vanilla. Now, Em, have you got a spoon? I don't really have anything to have this on. I do have a can of chicken.
I've got a knife.
Okay, well, there you go. Grab yourself a little bit of...
Oh, man.
Sort of describe how it looks. I mean, it's a nice mayonnaise. Like,
yeah,
it's a good
it looks,
consistency.
Yeah, thick and mm-hmm. creamy and
flecked.
I guess,
Little dark brown sort of black flecks throughout there.
I don't know why I'm so nervous.
A little taste.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I don't know.
It's not good. It's not good.
What would you have it with? What did they suggest?
They say use it in seafood salads.
Oh.
Coleslaw, Waldorf, or with smoked chicken.
But why? Why the vanilla?
Well, Food 52 has another. Yeah, exactly. Because they're trying to sell more vanilla. They've got a recipe here: Earl Grey cured salmon with vanilla mayonnaise. Which I guess that makes sense. It's very dainty. It's a little afternoon tea thing. It's on a little round of wholemeal toast. With a little floret of Earl Grey cured salmon. That's a bit of a fancy way of doing it. But beyond that, I don't know what you're going to be doing with this stuff.
No, and you've got a whole lot of it.
I've got a lot. I've got to get through the whole lot of that tonight. I'm going to be here a while.
That's disgusting. I've got that vanilla taste in my mouth from the mayo. Yuck.
Okay, I'll let you take a drink of water while I ask you, what did we talk about?
I spoke about vanilla slice, how to eat it, which is just the traditional way, how you've always been eating it, Cornetto v drumstick, and what to use when cooking with vanilla.
I talked about the global food superpower that is Viennetta, not Streets Viennetta, because it's also made by Walls and Breyers and Walls. And then I talked about imitation vanilla, where it comes from, you might not want to know. And then I made some delicious vanilla mayonnaise.
I really feel like we should have finished with Viennetta. That would have been a more pleasing end.
Luckily, there's another 3/4 of it in the freezer.
Yeah, so you can vote for who you found the most interesting on our Instagram, which is Ingridipedia. We'll see you next time.
Catch you then.